In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So, Volume 2, 10-14-99. Louisa, when you see that my justice arms itself against the people, enter into the kingdom of hope. Invest yourself with the most powerful qualities she possesses. Rise up to my throne and do as much as you can to disarm the armed arm. So here is, this is what we're going to be doing this year. See, Jesus says, mercy will come before divine justice. He says, my mother brings divine mercy to the world. You, Louisa, bring divine justice. And Louisa says, I don't want anything to do with divine justice. And Jesus says, this is your job. This is what you have to do. So our job this year in pleading for God's mercy is to, as Jesus says, enter into this kingdom of hope. Enter in and invest yourself with the most powerful divine qualities. Arise up to my throne and do as much as you can to disarm this justice that's coming. See, our job, we're going to see our family and our friends and our neighbors, those who are co-workers, even our parishioners who are far from Jesus, panicking. They're going to panic. They're going to be so afraid of what's coming. See, the whole earth has to shake. That's what Scripture says. The whole earth has to shudder to wake us up. And when this happens, we will be scared. And that's why Jesus says, enter into the kingdom of hope. Hope, Christian hope is certitude. We are certain that God loves us. And we are certain that God will protect us. That's our job. So this is what we have to learn to do this coming year. Entering into the kingdom of hope, investing ourselves with the most powerful qualities, rise up to the throne of God to do as much as we can to disarm divine justice. And as you do this, with the most eloquent, the most tender, the most compassionate voices, the most compelling reasons, with the most heated prayers, which hope herself shall dictate to you. You see what's going to happen. The Holy Spirit is going to lead, guide, and direct us. Okay? Now, we have to know that in 1900, Pope Leo XIII consecrated the world to the Holy Spirit. Okay? In 1960, St. John the 23rd, prayed for this second Pentecost to come upon the earth. Now, this was halfway through the century, more than halfway through the century. And then in 1998, John Paul II, on the year of the Holy Spirit that he wanted, On Pentecost Sunday in 1998, prayed Veni Creator Spiritus three times. May you come, Holy Spirit, and the world changed at that moment. What the Church had been praying for 100 years is being completed. That's why John Paul II said, "Get ready for the third millennium. Get ready for the glory of the Church, the new springtime of mankind." This is where we are. We begin to live in this kingdom of hope. You know, I am not worried about my family. I know that God is going to take care of them. Jesus said to Louisa, you take care of what I want, and I'll take care of what you want. What does Jesus want? He wants us to call the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven with our praevini act in the morning and our actual acts throughout the day. And as we begin to get rid of the I, me, and my, and say, Jesus, what are we going to do today? What are we going to have lunch for today? Where are we going to walk today? Once you begin this unity with Jesus, you begin to live in this kingdom of hope. Again, he says, and you shall do this with the most eloquent, most tender, most compassionate voices. I adore you, I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I worship you. As you begin to pray the rounds, what happens at that point, this is what Jesus is talking about. with the most compelling reasons, with the most heated prayers, with hope dictated to you. By whom? By the Holy Spirit. See, we are living in a time that, like I said, the saints would, if they could envy, would envy us. Because they know that this is the greatest time to be alive. And we have been chosen by God to live at this time. Not St. Francis, not St. Clair, not St. Benedict. We have been called to live at this time. We have been called to know Luisa Picaretta. And by embracing Luisa, the whole world changes. The whole world begins to live in the kingdom of God on earth as the saints live in heaven. So Jesus says, when you see that the hope it's herself is about to support certain rights of justice, which are absolutely necessary, and wanted to give them up, would be wanting to give affront to herself, which cannot be, then conform to me and surrender to justice. So, we're going to see that it is good that God shakes the earth. We're going to see that it is good that fire comes down from heaven. Why? He says these are absolutely necessary. He's going to save mankind. He's going to sanctify mankind. There is going to be a new heavens and a new earth. We have to understand what is happening at this point. He says, surrender to this divine justice. Excuse me. And I, terrified more than ever for having to surrender to divine justice, said to Jesus, "Ah, Lord, how can I do this? It seems impossible to me. The mere thought that you have to chastise people, I cannot tolerate, because they are your images. Were they at least creatures that did not belong to you? Yet this is nothing. But what tortures me the most is having to see you, I would almost say, being struck by yourself, slapped and scourged and grieved by yourself, because the chastisements shall pour upon your own members, not upon others. Therefore, you yourself shall suffer. Tell me, my soul and only good, how shall my heart be able to bear seeing you suffer, struck by your very self?" See, this is what God's going to do. See, we have been bought by Jesus Christ. He bought us with every drop of his blood. We belong to him. We are consecrated to him. And yet, we are so far from him. And so therefore, he says, I've got to wake people up. I've got to bring divine justice to the earth. See, a lot of people think that, you know, like keeping holy the Sabbath. Well, it doesn't matter if I watch TV. It doesn't matter if I go out shopping. It doesn't matter if I go to Mass on Saturday evening because I want something to do on Sunday. See, we've deceived ourselves. It's keep holy the Sabbath. That means that day belongs to God. It doesn't belong to us. And when we keep holy the Sabbath, God is so pleased. Like when you look at the Ten Commandments, the only of the Ten Commandments that is a paragraph long is keep holy the Sabbath. Every else is thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. But keeping holy the Sabbath, there's a paragraph. Read that. What you're going to discover is if you keep holy the Sabbath, all the other commandments are easy. But again, keeping holy the Sabbath is the minimal requirement of being a Catholic. You know, Holy Mass is everything. The Holy Sacrifice of the Mass is everything. And when we begin to realize that we are in communion with God for 15 minutes, God and us and God as one, fused together at that point, adoring Him, loving Him, praising Him, thanking Him, blessing Him, worshiping Him, we long for that day. Well, you see the pictures of Luisa looking up, and they said she went to ecstasy after receiving Holy Communion for 2 hours. But to get ready for Holy Mass, she prayed for 2 hours. So here you have 5 hours of getting ready to receive Holy Eucharist. She wanted that communion with Jesus. You know, and what do? Is we go to Holy Mass, the Mass is over, we go back to our cars, and we haven't changed. Jesus says, watch what's going to happen to the children who receive Holy Communion when the divine will reigns, they will become like God. Not be God, but they will be in God's image and likeness. This is what's so great about this gift. We haven't seen anything yet. And we, as Catholics, receive Holy Communion. Why? To prepare ourselves for the perennial communion that God wants. As Adam had the perennial communion, never to be abandoned by God, never to be alone, never to be far from God. Adam walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening. This is what we begin to do as we pray our rounds. Entering into the rounds is essential for living in the divine will. Praying the rounds is all throughout the day. And as we learn, we begin to memorize the echo of God, which is Luisa Picaretta. When we pray the way Luisa prayed, we are echoing Jesus and Mary. This is what God is longing for. Again, but you have to learn it. And I know a number of people say, well, this is how I pray my rounds. These are my rounds. And I'm going, well, that's nice, but Jesus gave this to Luisa. What did Luisa say? How did Luisa pray? And when we echo what Luisa said, when we really begin to learn how to pray the rounds, we begin to live this life. Again, so it's very, very clear. As everything starts to fall apart, as we begin to understand that these chastisements that are coming are necessary to wake us up. I mean, nobody listens to you when you talk about Luisa. They look at you and they walk away. Why? Because everybody has a strong human will. And Jesus says that. At this point, the majority of humanity will not embrace the divine will. It's for the souls who must live in the divine will. That's us. Again, must. This is a divine decree. We must do this. It's not God's hoping that you do it. You must do this. Again, it's very, very powerful when we begin to understand that we are alive today to begin as the first little children of the Holy Divine Will, linked to Luisa, to call the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And once it comes, and this is what's happening, we are preparing the Pope by our fiat. And when it comes to the point where the Pope says Luisa is venerable, Luisa is beatified, and that's what it says in volume 13, November 8th, Luisa will be beatified. When that happens, the whole world changes. What Archbishop Piceri said in April, that you could read, and again, he's always said that. He said it privately. Anybody who wants to read can read. And then publicly, he finally said, okay, anybody who wants to, please do, through Father Sergio. The reason is because the Vatican has said they want these writings out. Those that are reading Luisa know how powerful this is. And I mentioned to you before, well, the cardinal that I spoke to, he said, what I hear about Luisa overwhelms me. And the bishop I spoke to a couple weeks ago, he said this, the same thing. He said, I have to know more about Luisa. See, it's a whole new era that's coming. And for some reason, God has asked us to read it first. Why? To get ready for the kingdom. The one who this is to be given to first in the fullness is the Holy Father. That's what Jesus shows us in the letters, the third appeal. She says, you, Holy Father, must be the first to live in the fullness of the divine will. And then with your authoritative voice, you will give this to all the world. He has the keys to the kingdom. And there will be one church, one flock, one shepherd. Everyone will become Catholic. And you're going to see every mosque, every temple, every Protestant church become a Catholic church. God's got it all planned. And because what's coming is the kingdom. So he says, therefore, conform to me, otherwise you shall force me not to tell you anything anymore so as not to see you grieved. So that's what he says to us in the divine will. He says to us in the divine will, give your fiat. conform yourself to me. See, if the if the Lord is the Lord of our life, if He is our God, if He is our Savior, if He is our Master, if He is our King, then He knows what we need. He knows what needs to be broken in us. He knows what needs to be to grow in us. And that's what He's looking for. Who is conformed to Jesus? I mean, if when we do this in the divine will, how great is that? And with this, you would deny me the relief I, Jesus, receive in conversing with you. It's the same thing. When we conform to Jesus and we are linked to Louisa, and again, it's always Jesus and Mary and Louisa, with this, you will deny me the relief I receive in conversing with you as you read. If you don't conform to what Jesus wants. What is conforming to what Jesus wants? He says, read. Study this. Make this your everything. Ah, yes, you would reduce me to silence with no one to whom to pour out my pains. As you read the hours of the Passion, as you go through that, what happens at that point is you relieve Jesus of His suffering. He wanted His mother at the cross to watch Him die. He wanted His apostle there at the cross, John, to watch Him die. He wanted Saint Mary Magdalene at the cross, thank you, to watch Him die. And who was the first one He appeared to next to the Blessed Mother? Was Saint Margaret. Who did He fill with the Spirit, the love of God, seraphic love of God is Saint John. Jesus calls us to be with Jesus, Mary, John, Mary Magdalene, and Louisa at the foot of the cross. There's no time or space in the divine will, and as you want to be there, you are there. You're at Calvary. This is the bilocation that Jesus talks about in the divine will. You can be with Him at Bethlehem when He was born. You can be with Him at Cana as His first miracle. You can be with Him in Gethsemane with His apostles. There's no denying that what this prayer is, it goes beyond contemplative prayer. It goes beyond rote prayer. It goes beyond meditative prayer. It's to begin to be one with Jesus, never to be separated from Him. This is what He says He wants. And He will speak to us. He is the Word of God. He speaks to us as much as we are silent. See, His voice is silent. And when we are alone with Him in silence, He speaks to our hearts. And we will be able to hear Him. He says to Louisa in volume 36, He says that the senses were made for God. We are to see God, hear God, smell God, taste God, touch God. That's our life. That's our all. And we have to begin to live heaven on earth. So volume 3, 227, 1900. Tell them that great is the evil they do by murmuring about one another. So one of the things that Jesus shows us is to stop gossiping. That's, I think, you know, sacred scripture says that you will be judged for every idle word. Every idle word you're going to be judged by. This is not gossiping. This is murmuring about people. So if you're judged for every idle word, what is Jesus going to do about murmuring? What we need to do is to be silent. Silence is so essential. That's where God dwells. And when we're alone with God, when we're praying with Him, adoring Him, loving Him, praising Him, blessing Him, glorifying Him, with the rounds, you begin to experience heaven. He says, first, stop murmuring about one another. Stop gossiping. Stop slandering. Stop being jealous of one another. Stop being hateful. Stop holding grudges. It's very, very important that we begin to hear what Jesus is teaching us through Louisa. These souls draw my indignation with justice because I see as God that while they are subject to the same miseries and same weaknesses, they do nothing but raise tribunals against one another. Okay, so we've got to pray for one another. We've got to say good things about one another. Sometimes it's the hardest thing to do with people that you live with. But Jesus has planned that you live with these people. Why? To break you down. Because, the self-love, the self-preservation, the self-centeredness that we have has to be broken. So God will put us in a situation where it seems everything will go wrong. No matter what you do, you're wrong. And that's where we begin to say, Fiat. Fiat. And as you enter into this, you go, absolutely, yes, I am not perfect. And therefore, I want Jesus to show me how to be perfect. So, humility is necessary. To have humility, you must be humiliated. So you'll be ignored, ridiculed, laughed at, rejected, misunderstood, abandoned, persecuted by everybody. And that's where we smile and say, Fiat. I deserve this. Why? Because Jesus loves humility. And when a soul is humble, when a soul does not stand up for its rights, you have no right saying this to me. When we say Fiat, you remember King David. The man came up and throwing stones at David, cursing David, and David's general said, "Let me cut off his head." And David said, "No, maybe God told him to do this." And see, it's the same thing. Is the Lord wanting you to have humility? If He does and He wants this, you have to be humiliated. You have to be misunderstood. You have to be abandoned, persecuted, laughed at, spit upon, ignored and ridiculed. This is what Jesus went through, and he says basically, if you go through this with fiat, with peace, he says your soul is being transformed. A number of times, marriages are very, very difficult, and things happen that shouldn't have happened. And our job is to say fiat. Lord, you're in charge. You're in charge of my life. I am consecrated to you. I'm consecrated to your mother. You are the new Adam. You are the new Eve. You have given me Louisa. I give my fiat. So when Louisa was condemned for her writings, and she never wrote a writing that was wrong. It was her spiritual director that rewrote everything. And Jesus says, this is not true. The church says, this is not true. Louisa says, I condemn them as well because they are not Jesus' words. She said, yes, I condemn them too. She, total submission, total surrender, she didn't say, I didn't write it, he wrote it. She just said, Fiat, okay, I'm sorry, I condemn these writings as well. When Cardinal Ratzinger looked at the writings, he said very clearly, she didn't do anything wrong. And her writings were basically approved by Cardinal Ratzinger, volume 1 through volume 19. That's all we had at the time. And they had the Nihil Iapsa of St. Honorable de Francia and the imprimatur from Archbishop May. Now Archbishop Pichieri says, I want to put my imprimatur on 20 through 36. And that's what they're working at. And this new book that's coming out is going to bring great blessings to the church. Like, a lot of people have heard terrible things about Louisa, basically all misunderstandings. When the bishops and the priests read this, they're going to say, I have nothing against Louisa. This is what the Vatican has said, with this book on her biography. I mean, we have Father Bucci's book on the biography, and it's very, very powerful, very, very good. But he's not the Vatican. With the Vatican doing this, wow. We know that she's going to be named venerable. And when she's named venerable, that's why it's so important to have those relic cards. What you pray for with these relic cards, God is going to answer. I can guarantee you. It's happened over and over and over again. The amount of miracles is astonishing. Not only for individuals, but for her cause. And the Vatican cannot accept any of the miracles before she is named venerable. Because they say, now that the church is saying this, we want to see the miracles. The amount of miracles that are going to happen through Luisa. I mean, the whole world's going to say, who is she? Where did all these miracles, how did all these miracles happen? There was one miracle for John Paul. There was no miracles for John the 23rd. The miracles that are going to come through this is going to astonish the world. Why? As Father Bucci says, Luisa is, when she was alive, was Luisa la Santa, Luisa the Saint. And Father Bucci says, this is the saint of the church, Luisa. And as we get to know her, everything changes. Everything changes. So Jesus says, if they draw tribunals, raise tribunals against among themselves, what should I who am pure and holy do with them? This is when the day of illumination of conscience happens, people are going to die of fright. I mean, I've talked to many people and they are very easy on themselves, but very hard on the people around them. You know, they don't look at themselves and say, well, I did this, I thought that, I said this, I didn't do this, I didn't do that for the glory of God. Most people go, they did this, and that's the trick of the devil. When you're going, they did this, and they did that, that means when the day of illumination of conscience comes, it's going to be horrible for you. Because God's going to say, this is what you did. Remember that one guy, he died and he went to heaven and he saw all these people that were in heaven. He says, I never thought they would be there. He went up to St. Peter and he says, I didn't think they were going to be here. You know, all these people. I know how they lived. And they said, well, they're really amazed too because they didn't think you were going to be here. It's true. We are very lenient on ourselves. We're very hard with others. And that's got to reverse. We have to be diligent. And every night when we do our act of contrition, we have to say to the Lord, examination of conscience, we have to say to the Lord, I am sorry for all that I said, all that I did, all that I failed to do, all that I thought, said, and did against you, Lord. And tomorrow, I beg you, give me the grace to respond to what you want me to do. I mean, we have to make a good act of contrition every night because you know, you never know, you might not be here tomorrow. Our job is to get ready for heaven. That's our job. And if we're getting ready for heaven, Jesus is going to stand alone with us. There's going to be nobody around. We can't say, well, they did this and they did that. God's going to say, "What? How did you live? What did you think? What did you say? What did you do? What did you fail to do?" And we're going to stand there with nothing to say, and he's going to, this is what you did. This is what you thought. This is what you said. This is what you failed to do. And we will not be able to say anything, but you're right. This is my life. So again, God says, we're subject, he says this, we're subject to the same miseries, the same weaknesses, and we have to forgive one another. He says, I love his name, and they who do this among themselves, what should I who am pure and holy do with them? According to the charity with which they exercise towards one another, so I feel drawn to use my mercy with them. And Jesus was saying this to me, and I repeated it to those people, and then he withdrew. So here, who is the one who speaks to the people? What Jesus says, it's Luisa. Very clear. Jesus was saying this to me, and I repeated it, echoed it to those people. And then he left. Jesus left. As we read, as we study, as we put into practice these truths, our lives change. They cannot be the same anymore. They cannot be the same. What our God has planned is so beautiful. It's so holy. It's so perfect. It's heaven. And that's what God has given us. And that's why this book of heaven is so important for us to read and to study and to put into practice. Volume 3, 1900, my daughter Louisa, there is no one who can stand before my majesty and purity. To see how Our Lady says the children of America will bring purity to the world. It's the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. This has to become our life. Rather, all are forced to be terrified and struck by the thunderbolt of my sanctity. Like I said, what's coming is going to terrify us. It says, Scripture says, no man can see God and live. We're going to get a glimpse of heaven. Remember, St. Francis wanted to hear a song from heaven. He said that to the angels, and the angel says, we can't do that. He says, we will give you one note, he said to Francis. So the angels gave one note of heaven, and he was in ecstasy for 3 days. The reason they couldn't do this is he would die of ecstasy. It's because the sounds in heaven, the colors in heaven, the life of heaven, the love of heaven, the light of heaven has not been seen on earth. Jesus even hid himself when he was on earth. He looked like a mere human. And even now in the Blessed Sacrament, here is that which looks like bread and tastes like bread. But it is God Almighty, holy, holy, holy Lord, God of Sabaoth. We are called by God to fall in love with him. So it's not a time to read books when you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, but to fall in love with Jesus, adoring him, loving him, praising him, thanking him, blessing him. I mean, you can read the rounds. I mean, that's one of the things that's so much fun, to be in front of the Blessed Sacrament, to read a sentence and look at Jesus and repeat that sentence again and again and again. To when you're tired of that, read another sentence and say it to him again and again and again. I love you, I adore you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I worship you. To enter into that life of Jesus. So he says, people are so sinful, all are forced to be terrified, all, that's us included, and be struck by the thunderbolt of my divine sanctity. Man would almost want to flee from me because his misery is such and so great that he does not want to have the courage to stand before the divine being. That's where it says in Scripture, people will run to the mountains and say, fall on me, cover me. God is so beautiful. He's so holy. He's so perfect that we can't stand in front of him. We are sinners. We are sinners. God alone is holy. God alone is good. And we have to understand that. That's why knees are important. For one thing, and that is to kneel before Jesus, saying to him, you are my Lord, you are my Savior, you are my Master, you are my King, you are my all. And we have to mean it. When you come into church and bounce off your knee, a genuflection is what the knights did before the king. They would go on one knee with their head down and basically say to the king, you have the authority to dispatch my head. You are the king. You are the Lord. You are the Messiah. When you make the sign of the cross, it's not just, you know, swatting flies. It's Jesus, bless me, Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We have to be attentive to what we're doing. As Catholics, we are so blessed. And therefore, Jesus says, what I give, I expect from those that I give more. And here is why. Giving field to my mercy, I, Jesus, took on my holy humanity, which, tempering the rays of the divinity, this means to infuse in man the trust and the courage to come to me. So he hides his rays of divinity. Now, what's really interesting is we look at divine mercy and you see two rays coming from his heart. Jesus says to Louisa, When the divine will reigns, you will see 360 degrees rays from all around his heart coming out. And these rays will transform the face of the earth. These rays will purify man. But right now he hides himself. Why? He's saying, who, like he says right here, who is the trust and courage to come to me? He's hiding himself because, as St. Teresa says, this is the only time when he can freely love God. By placing himself before my holy humanity, which spreads temperate rays of the divinity, man has the good of being able to be purified, to be sanctified, and even divinized himself in my very deified humanity. Image and likeness. Now, when we read St. Peter in the Epistle of St. Peter, he talks about divinization. We are called to be divinized. Now, Peter could say that more than anyone. He's the one that saw Jesus on Mount Tabor. He's the one that walked on the water. He said to Jesus, if this is you, command me to come to you. And Jesus says, come. So Peter's prayer became Jesus' command. Peter did a divine thing. He walked on the water. And there's many other things that Peter has done. And Jesus wants us to do divine things, not just human things. Now, when the Holy Father, let me just put it this way. When you pray the command prayer, watch what God does. He's been waiting 6,000 years for people to pray the way he originally gave to Adam. And he said Adam didn't pray. Adam commanded. He had no needs, but it was God in him commanding. And so we don't say, I want a hamburger, and not that kind of a command. But Lord Jesus, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Take my prayer and make it your command. Lord Jesus, bring healing to mankind, spiritual, physical, mental, emotional healing to mankind. Take my prayer and make it your command. Watch what happens when people begin to link themselves to Louisa, to pray the prayer the way Jesus taught Louisa. He says it very clearly. Man will have the good of being able to have divine purity, divine sanctity, even to divinize himself in Jesus' very deified humanity. I mean, this is not human. This is not saintly. This is not good. Jesus says, I'm going to go away to prepare a place for you, and when I come back, you will be with me. He wants us to have life, abundant life, not just human life. Therefore, you, Louisa, remain always before my holy humanity, keeping it as a mirror through which you can clean all of your stains. Not only this, but as a mirror through which, by reflecting yourself in it, you shall acquire divine beauty. And little by little, you shall keep adoring yourself in my own likeness, to be like God. In fact, it is a property of a mirror to make an image appear within it, similar to that of the one who is reflecting himself in it. If such is the material mirror, much more so the divine mirror, because my holy humanity serves as a divine mirror in order to reflect my divinity. That's volume 1 through volume 10, to become a divine mirror of Jesus. Volume 11 through volume 19 is how to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. And volume 20 through volume 36 is how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. These three stages are necessary to know and to live. The first stage is you have to become a divine mirror. You have to know what Jesus said through volume 1 through volume 10. You have to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit, which is found in 11 through volume 19. That's what St. Honorable de Francia did, and that's why he died living in the divine will. But now we have more than it was given to St. Honorable de Francia. That is to receive the divine inheritance of the Father, volume 20 through volume 36. Here is how all goods come to man from my holy humanity. This is what Jesus wants, and this is what he is expecting of us. Volume 4, 10, 14, 1900. After this, I felt myself outside of myself, and I saw unknown persons approaching, dressed as middle-class folk. In seeing them, the people were horrified and screaming with fright and distress, especially the children. And they said, "If these set upon us, it is over for us." So, she saw in the future what's coming. They added, "Let the young girls hide, poor youth, if they are caught in the hands of these." So turning to the Lord, I said, "Pity, mercy, move this scourge away, so dangerous for miserable humanity. Let the tears of the innocents move you, Jesus, to compassion." And Jesus said, "Oh, my daughter, only because of innocence do I have regard for others. It only snatches my mercy, and it mitigates my divine justice, my just indignation." So here we see very clearly, Louisa sees what's happening. Now, there was another mystic who talked about when the unbelievers come into Europe like ants. He said, the mystic said that, know that the time is short. Do you ever see the non-believers coming to Europe like ants? Have you ever seen that? We understand that the time is short. We understand this. And again, let's just think of artificial means of birth control. There are no people in Italy. Italy is dying. There's nobody in Germany, nobody in France, nobody in England, nobody in Spain. Because of birth control, you have to have a 2.1 number of children to expand, to keep the population. Europe has basically 1.0 children. So that means Europe is extinguished. So what does God do as a punishment for birth control? Europe will no longer exist. It's very clear. They said by 2030, Sharia law will be law of Europe. That's England. There's more Muslims in England now than English people that were born in England. France, Germany, Spain, Italy, God has given them what they want. You don't want children? Okay, I'm giving this country to somebody else. This is, and what you see here in this paragraph of the young girls hide, if you understand what I'm saying, this is very bad what's happening. The churches, there are more churches, there are more mosques in Germany than churches now. That happened in 2004. There was more mosques in Germany than churches. If you look at everything, many churches, Catholic churches, are now being changed into mosques throughout all of Europe. God has to give everybody what they want. You want no children, you have no country. I mean, it's common sense that this paragraph here is about what's happening right now and what's going to happen for the next 15 years. It's going to be awful. It's going to be awful. Volume 4, 11/23/1900. After this, I saw rivulets of milk flowing from Jesus, and I drank all those rivulets. But since I was very limited and Jesus was so big and tall as to have no end, either in magnitude or in height, I could not manage to absorb them all in me. Many of them would flow outside, though remaining in God himself. So here we see the nourishment that Louisa receives is from Jesus himself, Jesus and Mary. This life that our God wants us to have is from Louisa. She is filled with this nurture, this food of heaven. And now God wants us to receive it from her. I felt displeasure and have wanted everyone to run in to drink at these rivulets, but so very scarce was the number of the pilgrim souls who would drink. Our Lord, too, was displeased by this, and he said to me, "What you see is constrained mercy." And this irritates justice more. How I cannot make justice. How can I not make justice when they themselves constrain my mercy within me? See, divine mercy is very important. Do we pray divine mercy every day? And if we're not, this is what Jesus is saying. You're constraining his mercy, therefore he's going to bring justice to the world. And when they themselves constrain my mercy within me, and I, taking his hand, clasping them together, said, "No, Lord, you cannot make justice. I, Louisa, do not want it. And since I, Louisa, do not want it, neither do you want it, because my human will is no longer mine, but yours. And since it is yours, whatever I do not want, you do not want either. Have you not told me yourself that I must," and that's us too, "live of your divine will?" This is a command. This is what why we were born. "Entirely and completely. My seat, Jesus, was disarmed by my words, and he became small again and enclosed himself in my interior, and I found myself inside myself." This stopping of Jesus was Luis's job. Okay, Luis is in heaven now. Okay? If we are linked to Luisa, this is our job. Asking God to have mercy. Like I was saying, this next year that's coming is essential. It's essential that we begin to live this life. It's to begin to possess this gift that God breathed into Luisa. And the only way we can possess it is by reading and studying and putting it into practice. Because what's coming, it's a new heavens and a new earth. And therefore, God has to put an end to what's going on here. All the sin that's happening in all our families is going to come to an end. And Jesus needs us to be linked to Louisa so that first his mercy comes and then divine justice comes. We have 1 year, basically, to pray like we've never prayed before in the divine will. So we'll end there in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we'll have Mass at we'll have the Rosary in 10 minutes. Okay, and that will be 10:55.